salute and pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you all for coming tonight. October 18th meeting of NCSB, the first item on our agenda tonight. We've got to take care of a roll call. Can we have a roll call for attendance, please?
Rick Blair.
Here.
Rick Simon.
Here.
Rick Mendoza.
Here.
Rick Sherman. Rick Small.
Here. And item number one is approval of minutes from the regular meeting of October 4th. We're going to obtain a motion that we approve the minutes unless you've had time to review them.
I so move.
Got a motion by Director Simon. Do I have a second? And a second by Director Blair. We approve the minutes in the October 4th meeting. All directors in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Nobody's opposed. Motion passed 4-0 with Director Fairbanks moving in the present time. Item number two is a public comments period. Anyone out there that wants to talk to an item that's not on the agenda tonight, here's your opportunity. The board can listen to comments. We can't take any action on these. Yes. Please state your full name and...
Hey, Joe, we all see this flower. I'd like to ask the board to comment on the following, on the change in interpretation of the resolution of Director Simon, the new number the 16. About the resolution about the performance of the water management board. What most people that I talked to came out of the meeting with was that we were not going to discuss AB 1030 until the CLDR board in 1997. The way I understand that has been reinterpreted is that yes, we can discuss that in the meeting. I thought, and listening to what other people thought, that you were going to meet at a local level in order to discuss the issues at hand. What is facing us? What kind of groups do we have that are interested parties in the water? And not per se 80-30-30. Now, I understand, I went to a Butchville district, and Doug Jones is at the invitation, but I think I can get the invitation anyway. I want to get my point of view across. They're talking about 80-30-30. We had a one-on-one meeting, which on the one hand, at least we're meeting, and that's good. And then I commend Director Simon and Doug Jones for being there and talking about the thing. But we talked at length for quite a while about just about 80-30-30. And again, what most people and old people that I talked to came away with at that meeting was what was decided with that motion that we were going to discuss the issues at hand. We were not going to discuss the implementation of 80-30-30. That was postponed until the PWR report would come out. And all of a sudden, we're really into a situation again where we're just getting on 80-30-30. I am upset with that reinterpretation, and a bunch of trust has been thrown out, and with me, I shared a few with a lot of other growers, again, out there, and I hope that the board can reiterate its original interpretation the way everybody understood it that walked out of this room for that particular meeting.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, I would like to address that issue just briefly because this did come up on an agenda about, I think, two meetings ago, and we actually had staff pull the quote for the motion. Okay, and I'll read to you the word for word what Mr. Director Simon's motion was. I move that we table further intent to plan a resolution in support of an AB 3030 program until such time as additional meetings and further the DRW report is available. That was the exact quote of the motion. There is no what I understand to be an interpretation of that. That there are, I can tell you from my own knowledge, that there are meetings that are going on.
The motion didn't preclude that additional meetings occur. That's what I'm saying. We reviewed the tape. And,
did it preclude 8330 and Delta DWR report?
No, you have. No, it didn't. It said specifically, just as Mr. Seitz said, additional meetings to discuss.
And?
We'll give you the verbatim quote.
But
the point is that you can't talk about, I mean, AB 3030 comes in as a discussion matter because it's related to the subject at hand. I mean, what are you going to talk about at these additional meetings? Say everything but the phrase AB 3030? It's clearly related, and it's hard to separate the two.
But as we spent quite some time, that's a meeting, and that's why I really like the board to reiterate that it's not just AB 3030, because maybe AB 3030 is totally not the answer. Maybe that's one of the outcomes, and that is used as the only talking point, then that is not a fair starting point. Furthermore, if Doug Jones goes out to talk to the flood control district at their invitation, I mean, that's all very close to lobbying and not discussing it. And we're very scared about that part. And if we see that this whole process, and that's what we're afraid of, if we see this process just as the name is different, resolution of intent is postponed, but in actuality, it is continuation of implementation of AB 3030 eventually, that is the process that we're part of, then we are extremely apprehensive, and that is not what was understood by all the people we talked to. We talked to most of the people that were here. That was not the understanding that we had here. In discussing the different points, that's fine. But not just 80-30-30, because we might come to the conclusion that 80-30-30 is not the only thing.
Case, may I say something here, please? Case, you and I have discussed this just between you and myself, and you know damn well that I never intended to make it 30-30 a non-subject of the discussions. It was always intended to be part of the discussion. The plan was the thing that was going to wait, not the discussion about the plan. Now, we've gone through this before. You bring it up every time I see you, and it really, it's old hat.
It really is not old hat, Al. One of the things that we did bring up at the meeting from our point of view, which was other growers also, is that we would like to see what's out there in the field, who are the other parties, and what options do we
have. That's what the meetings are designed to do, precisely that.
We are very afraid that the way it is being presented to us so far, and that's why, I mean, and we'll continue the meetings. We'll be there. That's what we said that we were going to do. We will do that. But if it looks like it's only discussing about 8033, then there's going to be a lot of tension in the meeting. It's not what we think is the only thing that is at hand.
What would be some of the other subjects you'd like to include in the meetings?
For example, what is the real situation? We come right back to DWR report. We don't know. What is the situation about alternatives? What are other
alternatives
areas
to what?
Alternative to getting water in. What are really the needs? Because before we start talking about AB, what are really, like what I said out in the meeting we had with you guys the other day, what is the situation for all the different groups? Let them point it out. Okay, this is where we feel we are as ag users. We feel that we have differences within the ag users because we have different interests, different areas. Where do we think we are going? Where do we think are some of the challenges? What could be a solution to that? Then let NCSU do this. Let Cal City do this. Let the flood control district or whoever might have an interest in it, let them do that. That is a starting point. first, see, what are the differences in opinion, and not AB 3030, let's start discussing it that's out there.
How can you get an opinion if you don't discuss it? Really, Case, your point, you go round and round and round and you never hit the target.
I think I hit the target very well, because if I explain it to my my group, they say right away that there is complete agreement with. So I think I must hit some target somewhere out there, and that is, where are the other groups coming from, and where do they think it's going, and what do they see as the challenges, particularly the 3030 for the time being. And then let every different group come up with the same thing. What might be a possible solution and what might be a possible solution. Then we go further.
It sounds like you want, as part of this, a re-justification of overdraft and a bunch of other factors, right? Before you carry any of that.
If that is the case, then some information that indicates that.
Well, we can show you stack reports.
But that was the whole discussion, Steve. That for the overdraft situation and everything, we would wait for the DWR report, at least as another authoritative source, new source, for that particular point, which obviously is a very important point. And
if you wait too long, though, for every report that comes out, there's always going to be another report on the horizon. What you're going to do is compress your timeline to where you can't respond to anything effectively.
Why
now's the time to work on it.
Why did the board vote 4-1 to wait until 1997 for a resolution of intent, which basically, if you have a resolution of intent, then you have the intent of going forward with 8030. You start discussing it. Right now, you're already...
No, actually, you can...
It's not going around and around, Al, and that's really not what is going on. Very scary to start talking about implementation right now of the thing, and that is what Doug is talking about all the time. I'm scared to hell.
What do you think I meant when I used the term meetings? What do you think I had in mind?
Meetings with not just 8030 in the book.
And
let me rephrase it one other way. Let me ask Director Blair. Am I so wrong about understanding it the way that I just stated?
I understood, pretty much understood, my understanding was, too, that we weren't going to do anything on it until 97. That doesn't mean they might not talk about it. What I was going to propose tonight, too, and maybe I should jump in here with it now, I was going to wait until later, but there's no secret that I want a hole in that state water pipe, but the people voted twice against it, so I don't think we can really go forward with it.
Coming up here.
Yeah, that's coming up here, and that's what I kind of like to wait till we get down there. What I was going to propose is some sort of town meeting where we can only get you people in, that get all the people in to explain to them what the problem is. We're really short of water, and this part of it on this groundwater management, Doug can even explain that, but that's just redistributing what we already have. We've got to get some kind of supplemental water from somewhere, because just redistributing what's like this coffee cup, it's half full. You just reparcel out half a cup is not going to do it. Somebody's got to fill this cup back up, and we've got to get some kind of, yeah, that's pretty credit here, too. I wouldn't know if I wanted to. But, right, it's about what my well is. My well's not even half full. But we've got to get some kind of access to that water pipe, because there is no, like I said before, and you're going to get tired of hearing this, but there is no Lake Napomo and there is no River Napomo. But there's a big 44-inch pipe out there that's going to go right by us, and we've got to get access to it. So maybe we can do something with that later on in the meeting and get everybody in here. And I know they'll all be jumping up and down, but at least we'll give everybody a voice and a forum to get this thing out to the public.
Right, because that might be an avenue where we can talk more about Napomo's needs, the projected growth, projected population, all the stuff we did way back when in 89, getting ready for the 91 election. All those facts and figures and studies have been referenced for the last 5 or 6 years that we used to believe, we believe that the preponderance of data shows there's an overdraft. And we took that line and tried to remain as objective as possible during the presentation prior to the vote, but we can rehash all that somewhat, but it's largely a waste of time if you spin your wheels too much. But we can do it to a degree, and we can make that one of our first or second meetings. Maybe bring up more of that type of information at the next meeting with the farmers.
To a certain extent, trying to gain more importance with other people, but I think there are an awful lot of people in the Como that have a certain financial interest in water, where they have to pay more or less for it in the future. For growers such as ours, there is enormous financial interest. To look at it relatively to the type of operation that we have versus anybody else's income, versus anybody else's type of business, there is an enormous bigger amount of importance to it financially than most other businesses or persons can make. And that's why I think it's for us a lot different than a lot of other people.
We understand.
You know, that information we just presented convinces me that your best interest is served by some organization that takes a look at the basin and tries to manage that resource somehow.
It could be, but that's what the Dutch government thought as well, and that's why I was paying 68% in taxes, my top tax bracket. That whole line of thinking, and that's what I'm afraid of here, that the idea is maybe good, but it can get out of hand. The idea of 80-30-30 might be good, but it can get out of hand.
People like yourself would have a big voice in how that is operated. And I can't see how...
That's the thing, Alex, because we've had a straightforward discussion with Al and Doug on this. I mean, how much of a vote would we get? Would we get veto power? Doug says, well, maybe we get veto power. I said, would be five people in there? Are all five going to get veto power? Well, of course not, because then you can't govern. I understand that. So in other words, we can't get veto power.
Well, that's part of the plan, though. That defines your governing body and how it operates. That's all hypothetical right now. We don't know how that's going to be structured. You got to talk about a plan before you know that.
We first want to see what is all out there, what's all at hand, what are the different groups having as challenges, goals, and problems, and then we'll maybe get down to 80-30, and maybe not. And that's a whole different approach than taking it as a starting point.
I think what he's afraid of and what I'm afraid of is we've got a governing body in San Luis too. The last 15 years has been ruled by basically three people who overrule it. And if we get on a 7-board vote with our water, we may wind up with a 4-3 the same way. And we've got to be I may want to go with this too, but you've got to be very careful how you structure this thing. If we're going to get a vote, I like it with a vote like this because he can maybe get on this board. But you get people that are on that board that we went to last week. Some of those people I don't want to determine in my future for sure. I'm not going to name any names, but those people know who they are.
I think the potential benefits will far outweigh at this point. We got to think about
if we get supplemental water, but if we're just going to redesign what's in this cup, we're spinning our wheels.
It can be a great way to get supplemental water, though. It can be a great way to do it.
Those people may not get it for us, and I'm not going to give them the chicken before I give them the chicken house. That's about what it amounts to. That's what we're concerned about here. I mean, because you're going to have the fox in that thing, and that's what we're really worried about. And we can get some kind of supplemental water without these people if we really want to, and there's no guarantee they're going to give us anything once we hand them over our water rights.
Let's spend a couple more minutes on this. We've far exceeded our 3 minutes that we asked for. But can you say a couple of words, John? Do you have any personal experience with, let's say, the possibility of abandoning a GMA that's dysfunctional.
Sure. I mean, it's it.
GMA
is the groundwater management agency.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
See, the whole the resolution of intent. I just want to get back to the very beginning of this. Maybe I'm repeating a lot of stuff that everybody knows about, but a resolution of intent does not form the groundwater management district. All it does is it signals the beginning point for people to get together for the possibility of forming a groundwater management district. So once the resolution of intent is in place, that gives the groups a legal opportunity to get down with some legal significant discussions to make some determinations. A, is there going to be a groundwater management district? B, what is going to be the extent of its authority and what will it manage? There is no law that says if you form a groundwater management authority, it has to do this, 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 and this. It's all multiple choice. You can do this, you cannot do this. You can do this, you cannot do this. You can do this, you cannot do this. And that's what the whole purpose of is that 1 year period from the resolution of intent, 2 years, to the formation of it, is to get the people together so that they can make the determination of how they want to govern it. Can you govern, put into your bylaws an escape mechanism that says, you know, put it back before the people and dissolve it? Of course you can. I mean, it's not, you know, it takes a vote of the property owners to place it. It could take a vote of the property owners to repeal it. So the answer to that is yes.
Can you go through all that without
the
resolution of intent?
No. Can you do it formally with any legal significance? The answer is no.
But you can discuss it.
Oh, sure.
And you can draft, and you can have it out. Or you can talk about it as much as you want.
Well, as much as you guys talk about AB 3030, if you guys would draft the plan.
That's why I like to have a public. That's why I like to have some public meetings here and get some input.
If it was acceptable, then we would have some idea about what we're talking about.
You can circulate it and redline it.
But that's if you circulate it,
you'd
be criticized.
Of course.
It'd be redlined.
But that's good. That's a good, positive, iterative process.
Am I wrong in assuming that that's not the function of this board to present a plan?
That's the whole thing what we're doing.
Yeah, it'd be the function of the committees.
Not the board, though.
No, the board could put input. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, we could be a player. You could.
I'm just saying, the starting input. If you're really talking about this, the starting input.
You guys want to be involved. You should be involved from the very beginning. And this plan.
I've written my plan, and Albert, I'll find that. So, you know, if I can write a plan, then I think you guys can find more about.
Well, we'll go ahead and draft the plan and make everybody's input into it.
Once you form the resolution, though, is that the point where you need, 50% for the voters to protest or to stop it, or is that
stop it? Just stop it.
Right.
Is that the way it's stopped by 51%?
Correct.
That's
assessed value property owner.
Yeah, that's...
If it was strictly a vote of the people, it would be a lot better, because then you get the actual piece of voting, just like state water was, right?
Carl Hagee mentioned that there's some areas that you can back into it, and maybe this is one thing, to eliminate the fear as long as the resolution of intention is not passed, there's no legal aspect going forward. And Carl Hagee mentioned that some areas went ahead and developed a plan and got concurrence with the plan before adopting a resolution. Maybe that's the way to go here, and that eliminates that fear that it's going to go ahead.
Well, at least you have something to talk about. You know, you have clear criticism, and you have clear positive comments. Okay, let's move on to another issue. Could you give your name to Donna for the
minutes?
John Snyder.
Now, Case, that doesn't mean I don't like you as a neighbor. I think you're a great neighbor, and I think you're a great guy. But you've got the wrong idea.
Well, it's
well, we're not going to talk about it anymore. And we
said like my brother, who was the last word as well?
Bingo.
But I mean, you're a personal leader, right? That's what I wanted to say. But it's a need that comes very dear to my heart.
Oh, Buck's come very dear to everybody.
That's what I... It's like, I don't mind if you guys come up with something that we've got a big disagreement with. That's fine. But don't insult our intelligence by saying something that we know you don't mean, really. Because we're not stupid. That's fine. If you disagree with us totally, I mean, we don't have a problem with it. Because it's going to come out anyway. That's the thing.
That was the last word.
Okay, let's move on to item number three. Under board administration, this is district water supply. Mr. Jones?
Yeah, Mr. President, the board of directors at the last meeting directed staff to look into the possibility of requiring some form of access to the Coastal Branch pipeline of the state water project. The board is aware that the pipeline is under construction and will be coming down Thompson Avenue. If you notice, driving through the county, there's a number of, I guess it's probably a mile of pipe laying on the ground being installed at this time. And reviewing some of the construction drawings, it shows that there are four, what they call, access panels that are basically inspecting for 24-inch standard in this 40-inch or 50-inch pipe coming through the tunnel. The pipeline, you have a map, will be coming right straight down Thompson Avenue through Middletown and Friends South, and going south past the church, and then heading westerly and going through the wastewater treatment plant and over the Mesa. In the stretch in the urban area, basically from E Street to Knox Street, there are four so-called manways or a man access point, 24-inch diameter access holes to go and inspect the inside the pipe in construction. Probably the reason they have so many in this one area is because there's a number of areas where they have to get around certain utilities and dens and blow off. And it would be somewhat simple to construct a short pump in there and hook on a valve and put a blind band on the valve and bury it, and therefore you have an access. The cost on that would be nominal. If you ever wanted to convert it to a regular full turnout in the future, then you're looking at many dollars because they want to cover many valves and everything else involved in it. But the access is just putting something like that for possibly prior access out of the pipeline for emergency water supply or non-project water, it would be a method of doing that. Also, the board talked about going back to the boulders, and as the board knows, the this matter of the state joining the state water project was put as a compulsory or binding vote to the people of Napomo, the district, in which it was defeated by 28 votes. And the board had a legal opinion from legal counsel in the Bay Area that it was actually an administrative matter and not a legislative matter. And therefore, the board modified its ordinance, using that one section as a vote, and therefore overrode the vote. From there, a referendum came about, and the people basically overturned the court's decision. Legal counsel get this further, but once, as I understand, it is an administrative decision, as long as you keep it as an administrative decision. Once you give it to the electorate, then it becomes a legislative decision. And so, therefore, that is the present point. And because the original ordinance says that, which I didn't give a memo on, is that whether the district should participate in the state water project, or state water project, then anything associated with state water project definition-wise, their legal counsel can review that aspect of it. But basically, if you want to go back to the state water project, you probably have to have a whole of people to overturn the referendum, or connecting to the turnout in the pipeline is not necessarily state water project. It could be somewhat considered definition-wise different. And then
you have anything you want to add at this time, Mr. Sykes?
Well, no, I think Jones did a good job. I have placed a memo in front of you. It just kind of gives you an historical overview of how we find ourselves, where we find ourselves, through the different elections that we've had and the referendums that have pretty much foreclosed the ability for this district to participate in state water as it sits right now. I can just add a couple comments to it. The state water project is a defined term. Both the county engineering department and myself come to a conclusion that you can have non-state water project water in this pipeline. For example, you could have possibly Nacimiento water in this pipeline, and you could have it delivered. So we have had a vote of the people or the residents of Napomo precluding us from joining the state water project, which is kind of a defined term. And without going into a whole lot about it, it goes back to the 1963 contracts between the county of San Luis Obispo and the state of California to, it was associated with a $1+ billion bond issue to construct what we now call the California State Water Project. But basically the water that is destined for this place originates in the Delta or is fed into the Delta and then State Water Project Aqueduct maybe end up in San Luis Reservoir, may not, but eventually we'll get down to it. That is the definition of state water project water. So there's other waters that we can, any agency could gain access to from the State Water Aqueduct, which is the pipeline that will be running through the district. With that, there are two issues, though. The water purveyor for the county is the County Flood Control District. Okay, so they're the ones that contract directly with the state regarding water that comes down that pipeline. And that's why you see every agency or every mutual water company or whoever it is that wants or desires a turnout on that pipeline, either to access state water project water or to other water like Nacimiento water, they have to go to the County Flood Control District, which is in fact the Board of Supervisors, to gain their consent in order to accommodate whatever they want on that line. Now, in my memo here, it reflects that on July 19th, 1994, the County Flood Control District considered the request of the Napomo Community Service District for the approval or construction of a water supply turnout on the coastal branch of the aqueduct. The report clearly stated to the board that this would be an emergency backup water supply and that the district requested the turnout be constructed but not connected to the district's distribution system. The County Flood Control rejected that request ultimately on a 3-2 vote. But what it does tell you, though, is what your obstacles are, because I've personally have talked to a number of the supervisors on this issue, and I think it was clear in the record that the Board of Supervisors views the vote of the residents through those prior two elections much broader than maybe a lawyer or somebody else or the engineering department of San Luis would interpret it. They interpret that vote as saying no supplemental water into the district. So as a practical matter, in order to gain access to any water on that aqueduct, there's going to have to, whoever wants it, it's going to have to reach some type of resolution with the County Flood Control District as a condition to getting that access. And what staff is trying to work through is how do we get that consent? How do we convince the Board of Supervisors that the residents of Napomo or this board should be entitled to a turnout? And we kind of come to the conclusion that probably a vote of the residents would probably be the most appropriate way of jumping that Board of Supervisors hurdle into the state pipeline. But even if you do that, the question ultimately is going to be an issue of capacity, because if, for example, you take a hypothetical, if the capacity in the pipeline is at 100%, there's not going to be any room for supplemental water. I mean, that's just, you can't transmit water when there's no capacity to do it. So, and because of my prior involvement with the state water project, I think there may be engineered in there some extra capacity. I think it's going to be minimal. Because as the state water project comes down from Colonial Pass, as it passes each water purveyor, the pipe is actually downsized. I mean, it is not engineered as one size pipe the whole way down. It is meant to transport that water to the individual purveyors, and that's driven by engineering and economics. It's cheap, you know, as the pipe gets smaller and smaller, it's cheaper and cheaper to construct. So you're going to have to make an assumption that even if we get the approval and we get the turnout, that A, that there will be water available, or there'll be capacity in the pipeline available to transport the what we would typically call supplemental water or non-state project water. I just want to make that clear to the board that all the hurdles that are in there.
The water project water is passed for the POMO. I mean,
right.
January 31, 1992, it was our last option.
Exactly.
Offered to us.
Okay.
The POMO was out at that point. So now anything we've talked about is
supplemental water.
Either emergency use only justified the fire or breakdown of current pumpage or something, or supplemental water from another source, and merely using state water project aqua piping as a conduit.
Exactly. So that's a limitation.
Okay.
Yeah. The self-centered interest of people in San Luis Obispo is the reason the pipe was downsized. I mean, it was a 60-inch pipe to start with, and because they convinced and they said that we didn't really need state water, they got downsized to the current 44 inches. And this little pamphlet you pressed out is Supervisor Brackett, seconded by Supervisor Obert, moved to approve in concept the construction emergency turnout. The ayes were Brackett and Obert, the nays were Morin, Blakely, and Chairman Delane. And it's what basically what I said. It's those three people that stopped this pipe. And we have two people, two representatives on that board? Another thing I'd like to do is I'd like to take Lisa's place on that board. I want to go to that board meeting all the time. No, I'm serious. I want to go there and jump on those people every chance I get, because whatever we want, we're not going to get it by sitting passively here and waiting for those people up there to throw us the crumb. We need some kind of supplemental water, and I'm not going to wait till my well goes completely dry until somebody up there says, oh, yeah, maybe we better give them something.
Lisa sits as an alternate on an advisory committee, different than people we get.
Well, not necessarily different.
I think he's talking about the county water.
Yeah. I'd just like to go and listen and...
They're open meetings, man. Show up. Give them that.
I answered.
Just tell them. Just make sure it's sacred, not a representative. Yes, so, say whatever you want.
I usually do. So that.
But, you know, I would. There's a lot of options, and of course, there's so many options and so many things going on. The staff, quite frankly, in 2 weeks, has not explored them all. You know. All of them. You may want to consider bringing in somebody that's very familiar with the state water project to figure out is there really going to be any excess capacity if everybody's taking 100% of their allotment? I mean, how is the pipe designed, and what are the chances of the pipeline accommodating alternate sources of water besides state water? And those things may all be those types of things that this board would want to consider, which staff has not had time to explore in that great depth.
The county sold 80% of ours. Can we ever get that back, or is that gone forever?
Is it sold
like on 5-year contracts or 10-year contracts, or is it sold like forever?
Okay, now I'm way out of my bailiwick here, okay, so I want everybody to understand that, because I have not heard that the county has actually consummated a deal on the state water. And so I'm not saying that's good news or bad news, but it seems to me that anybody that is going to buy allotments of state water, I know there's a lot of interest in buying it, so I'm sure they're working on selling it, but it would be difficult for me as a lawyer imagining somebody buying that type of water at that cost and not buying absolute fee ownership in the water. I mean, to me, it would be very difficult to say.
It was my understanding at one time that it would be absolute fee interest in the water, but that you could still purchase it if they had excess water and they wanted to sell it to you. It doesn't mean they would sell you the water at the same rate, though.
Right, exactly. The way it's kind of designed right now, any state water project water that is wielded, for example, you could find yourself with one town having an excess of water, saying, you know, we really don't need this state water this year. And there's a community down south of their pipe. I think you could engineeringly do it upstream of the pipe too. But downstream of the pipe and saying, you know, they need the water and they're willing to buy it, you know, and so we could wield it on a short-term basis down to a place of need from a place of excess. Again, though, the contracts and the way they're set up, all those type of wieldings need to be approved by the County Flood Control District. Megan, you always got to remember this one kind of concept. The county is the flood control district is the water purveyor. As it comes down to different agencies, you could use the term sub purveyor. You know, they're getting their water from the flood control district, and we're purveying, or could, or some district that's taking state water would then purvey that water down to its customer base. So it. So it's a very complicated process that really involves four contractual relationships once you really get involved with it.
It's my feeling, I might be way off on this, but as you talked about selling water or wielding water from one community that has an excess to another, but currently, the legislation the way it is, with the ordinances there in effect,
for us,
that precludes MCSD from being.
Oh, sure, sure does. Sure does.
Okay. That's what it says this was set up to do. I mean, it says right here that state water permits the transfer of water from one agency to another through transmission facilities of a third agency. These provisions in the water code were designed to encourage water transfers among agencies, particularly to help out emergency situations.
Sure. Correct.
What's really ludicrous is the worst case scenario is out there where these guys get their water, you've got an oil company that's pumped God knows how much diluent into the ground, and they don't know really where it is or how much is down there. And 20 miles to the south, we've got what we're seeing in the press now is the worst toxic waste dump in the world, and there's no guarantee if that thing overflows, that stuff won't come north instead of going to Los Angeles. I mean, no one really knows how the water table works. And you're sitting between two very toxic, two very, very dangerous potential things, and people are saying, well, you can't have an emergency turnoff, which is like a big fire plug.
You can't hook up to it until somebody gives you permission to. But if you run out of water, someone's going to give you the permission. And it just makes sense to be able to hook up to this thing in case one of these little disasters happens.
Do you have a wag of what the barest minimum cost for an emergency type hookup at this point would be? Not a hookup, a reservation for a future hookup.
Well, if you take one of these manways, which is a 24-inch diameter, you just weld on a short spool, put a valve on it, put a blind bag on that valve and bury it. Probably less than 5 grand.
But what is...
Could you do that at a later time, though?
It would be a little more difficult right now. The pipe is not loaded. You'd have a loaded pipe and a little more technical aspect of welding something on. It's a high-pressure pipe.
But I got this put... I think I hate to even do this, Doug, but what Doug has given you is an engineer's analysis of what it will take. But remember, whatever it takes, again, it's going to have to be approved by the state of California and by the county. My guess is that...
get all approvals.
They would never approve such a simple thing because it might, for a variety of reasons, but...
Right. I understand. It was an engineering question.
Yeah.
As I stated earlier, legislatively, we were precluded from participating in the state water budget.
So.
And that stands. I mean, that's not what I was saying. I'll say it again.
Yeah. Did you have a question?
Well, I thought I saw someone move. Maybe it was just your arm.
I have a small one. I know the council talked about
No, and I was saying that's a hypothetical. Believe me, I don't want to. My own view is that if Nazi Mineral Water gets as far south as San Luis Obispo, it will be something to see.
Also, be pretty expensive.
I was just using it as an example of a non-state water project water source that could be wielded legally through the aqueduct if there was capacity in the aqueduct to do it.
A more practical thing is going over in the valley and acquiring a water right from a farmer, groundwater, pump it into the Sacramento River, and deliver it to them.
Could you give us your full name for the record, please?
We know who you are, Mr.
Okay.
You know what, I just wanted to use that as an example.
Yeah, let's go to the audience for a little while since we've talked so much. Are there any other questions or concerns? Yeah, Mr. K.
I was just wondering, you have to go to these authorities if you ever had decided, well, we need the water, since they're not going to give you water from an outside source or a supplemental source, and you have this big ocean out of here.
You have to go to the county.
So Ruth Brackett said you'd have a heck of a time getting the pipeline through the dam.
It would be expensive.
The other thing you've got to realize is right now oil's cheap. Oil's cheaper, and it's been probably relatively what we made years ago. But a desal plant runs on some sort of energy. You know, whatever kind of energy you're going to run it on, those costs are not consistent. And even if what's the diesel run now? $1,600 an acre foot or $1,400 an acre foot?
What is Santa Barbara? Mm-hmm. What is Morro Bay? What do they have to go through to get that water from those plants going in?
Okay. Again, I'm kind of out of my bailiwick, but both, and I know very little about either one other than I've read a couple articles, both of those were put in under emergency situations in the middle of the drought. So there are exemptions to that you can adopt that either streamline the permit process or avoid the permit process in its entirety. I believe the Santa Barbara plant got through because almost entirely without going through the permit process, the Morro Bay plant had to go through some of the permit process, but it was streamlined.
And as you say,
but it was a drought emergency
situation.
A
participating user of state water, and they had a turnout, and they have water to sell. They couldn't sell it to you if they wanted to.
As it stands right now?
Right.
Unless they say that
the water.
But if you can't get a turnout, if they have a turnout, can they...
We're getting some annexes. They say, yeah, what we're giving you is desal water, which is not a safe product of water.
No, I'm talking about the pipeline as it's going down here with the turnout. If another agency that is participating with the state water project has excess water, and they... Can you buy some of that water from them using their turnout, or are they be disallowed to use it?
Oh, you mean like the city of Santa Maria?
Right.
Okay. It would be possible that to run a pipeline from the city of Santa Maria up to Napomo. And
they would be able to release that water to...
Sure. Once it goes in that agency, it's that agency's water.
He's talking physically capable. Legislatively, right now, we can't do that. Mr. Dobie?
Yeah, go ahead. We're talking about a situation where we have three junior votes a lot of times in the board of supervisors. Politics change, thank God, sometimes they change.
Hopefully,
for the better. Not always, but sometimes they do. Isn't it possible that suppose it would switch the other way around, that the board supervisors can say, but the whole district, we really believe that NCSD needs an emergency water turnout or any other type of situation, and it changes just like that? Is that a correct statement?
That could change, but my understanding, right, Mr. Mendoza said, we need to have an election as well to affirm that, because we had an election already which said something contrary as far as the public participation. So it has to be worded completely differently. You either word it from emergency use only standpoint, you know, change the ground rules, or it would be using that pipeline as a conduit to transmit other water sources. And then maybe it could get revoted.
Right now, with John, he's just saying that there is an interpretation, there's a very broad interpretation by some of the politicians on this issue.
Right.
If you get a new board of supervisors that, with a 3-2 majority, get a much smaller interpretation of it, then that fact by itself might already change the thing dramatically.
Well, you know, anything's correct in predicting political answers. you're right. If there is hypothetically a different board, the flood control district board, they can interpret things differently. Of course they can. But what you are doing is you're speculating on something that you have no control or very little control over. And the answer to that is maybe yes, maybe no. You know, I've seen, you know.
Yeah. The sequence of events would probably still be, though, a majority of the Napomo citizens within the district approving, you know, a $5,000, say, you know, stub valve there in the ground for emergency purposes or potential future used to accept water from another source other than the state water park. Now, if they jump in and approve it, well, then you would go to the county. That you still need county approval because, as Mr. Jones said, you know, they are the contractor with the state. So then that's when your scenario with 3-2 vote the other way would play in. Yes.
I wonder, is there any way to expand that motor base, depending on what encompass more of what would really be the affected area?
We already have.
Yeah.
Because Summit Station's in there now. There's a different group of people that voted before.
By 27 votes, and I don't know.
Yes, we can expand. It's called a groundwater management agency and plan.
Other than the groundwater management
agency
and plan.
Well,
that's what about education? I mean, do you really feel like you educated the people in the
Napomo
area about
what I might point out just so that everybody has it kind of clear in their mind. The first vote was 328 to 356, which is a 28-vote difference. The second vote was 592 to 384, which is approximately a 200-vote. I mean, there was two votes. I just want to make sure that everybody's talking about the first vote as the narrowest, but the second vote actually had the larger
turnout.
just maybe as a comment, and you guys probably reanalyzed that vote a thousand times or over, but I think a lot of people that I talked to said basically it was a vote for growth or no growth. Nothing to do with water.
This is stop the pipeline.
It was growth or no growth. And a lot of people who were no growth had no idea that they were potentially voting for something in the future against their own interests. And that's, in terms of education, and I know that's always extremely difficult with
the voter.
That was a factor.
And then there were others, though, that were, some of those that were most vocal at the meetings, at least, and there were flyers circulating around out there, too. But some of those that were most vocal at the meetings were also spreading, you know, rumors about the cost was going to be double or it's going to be triple what the state's saying because you're going to be locked into this dollar amount, but you're only going to get 30% of your delivery. So really, your cost is this. And there was that cost scare factor as well. But yeah, there was a lot of factors, and that was one. You know, the growth issue was instrumental.
See, the cost factor now, a bunch of things have happened. One, the state and the federal government got together because of pressure, and the allotments have been laid out. Before, they said it wasn't reliable. Now it's reliable. The allotments are out there. The other thing is the costs have come into line. He's talking about desal. Desal right now runs anywhere from $1,400 to $1,600 an acre foot. The people that have desal have the highest water bills in the county, and I think once the people in the Pomo realize that they go for desal, their water bill is going to go like this if they can get it. Where state water is around $700, and there was something in the paper the other night that 45,000 acre feet or something's going to be kicked back, and some money's going to come back in to bring that down because of the people complaining and solving and whatever. So I don't think it's going to go over $700, and something may bring it down. So right now, supplemental water is the best game in town. And the other thing is the pipeline is out there. Life will never be the same again. No matter what those people wanted or whatever they wanted, it is gone. The pipe is here. Life is going to change because people are going to get water out of that pipe, and there's nothing they can do about it. And it's inevitable. Change is going to come. You either change with it or it rolls over you. And we're going to get some water out of that pipe one way or the other because it's out there.
Any other board comments? Any more public comments? Any closing comments by staff? I don't see that we can take any kind of an action. This is mainly a discussion matter tonight, right?
Could we maybe look at a public, some kind of public? You think that we make a motion to maybe have staff look at it, maybe set up some sort of form? Because we got to get all the people together, the ratepayers, the farmers, the growers, everybody. We got to come to some kind of consensus on this thing so that if we do make a plan, it's going to make everybody happier, at least make 80% of them happy.
Yeah, let's not close this out just yet. What about at the last meeting a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the ballot measure. Is there anything you can tell us about potential costs, mail-in versus general, and timing?
Right. As the board knows, to get it on the March ballot, the time frame has passed. And so therefore, the general election ballot would be in November. The board could get on that. The board has an option of going to a mail ballot. And that could take place any time that the board so desires. And usually you could handle that within 90, 120 days. So you could have an election probably as early as February next year. Mm-hmm. And the cost of that someplace around $70,000.
But that's still only people in the district.
Yeah.
So that means Gene Melskow, really, if he was for it, he couldn't vote for it anyhow, and these guys couldn't vote either. So we really got to educate the people in the district that it's in their best interest to go for this thing.
And wording of the measure would be a question. I think staff would probably recommend it be as an advisory election, kind of thing, or whether the district should proceed to acquire a turnout in coastal branches of pipeline for emergency and possible supplemental water source.
Well, if it's advisory, then 9162 still stands.
That's correct.
Well, I think what's going on, 9162 does not preclude transmission from another source.
Right, and what staff's interpretation would be is that the bottleneck to a turnout is the flood control district. The flood control district has put a very broad interpretation on those last two votes. What I've understood is that if we they've interpreted that vote as the people not wanting a turnout, not wanting anything to do with the pipeline. If you had an advisory vote and it carried, then it would be, you know, the evidence that the people, the residents, if it was to pass, the inescapable interpretation would be that no, the residents just precluded state water project water and did not include the concept of, did not intend to exclude the concept of other water or emergency water, you know, and so that. But again, you know, it's always going to be a matter of interpretation. You always have, you have one more authority on one more layer above you between you and the pipeline, and that's the flood control district.
And before the county level, we've got an election of some sort, either a special election or a mail ballot of some type, because I think that if we get into that wording the ballot measure such that it repeals 9162, we get into that type of an argument, we'll soon lose
the
intuition and necessary to really understand the crux of the argument. I don't want to get into something, because if we write a ballot measure saying we've got to repeal 9162, that's in effect what 9164 did, and that got referendum out. I don't want to do that loop again. This is a different foundation. The foundation is emergency use only. We're using it as a transmission line.
I think our only chance of having anything like that pass is the fact that we have done stations and we've included more voters that possibly might vote for it. Because it's going to be the same issue, whether it be state water or supplemental water. It's going to be the growth issue. That isn't going to change.
Yeah, that'll wear its head.
Yes, was there? I saw a hand out there, I think.
No? Okay. I don't see anything. That's twice. You know. Yeah.
Well, yeah, basically that issue is if you want to draft up some type of, maybe get together and draft up some type of measure addressing the desire.
If we do a mail-out ballot and measure, it could be to our own timing.
That's right.
Once we have a few public meetings, we discuss the issues more openly. A
couple public meetings.
Spread the word.
Before we do, I'd like to push it. I think we ought to get some public meetings to get some input.
Yeah. Yes.
Maybe this question is for you. How can you guys work an election that does go out of your district?
We're dealing with our boundaries only. The only difference really is that we have the Black Lake people on there now. We have some Summit Station people, and the boundaries of the district have changed somewhat. But the issue, the growth issues and stuff are going to pop up. Yes, Mr. Walsh, let me take him in the back.
Can the district go out of their zone and drill wells?
Yeah, we can. If we get all the necessary agreements, you know, easements and whatnot. Well, we can drill wells, you know, we can drill wells to increase our pump capacity, but drilling wells doesn't help our overdrafts. You know, we're trying to address the 15-year, the 20-year, the 30-year picture, you know. In that time frame, by, say, 2010, we're going to need something else. And maybe
we don't
have
a cup.
Well, like,
'95 was a wet year for us. You know, a lot of water wells are up. I hear even the stickleback metals around people's backyards.
Yeah, they're all over my flat down there. They're landlocked right out from my flat. They're coming out and get rid of all that water.
Is there another question? Yes, Mr. King.
If those informational meetings are called for before the mail-in or mail-out vote,
right.
What's to preclude people from outside the district boundaries from coming to those
nothing really.
Well, then you have the same problem we have with the state water.
Right.
The people that come will come all the way from Morro Bay and down those roads and have their input, and they're the ones that speak the loudest. And people seem to be rallied by them. It is the rabble rousers, more or less. They come from outside and they speak their piece and they get their groups together and they go out there and spread all this misinformation and dominate those groups.
That happens. We'll be relying on you, intelligent individuals, to sit in the audience tonight to just shout them down.
That's right. One step up, I'll just say, get him.
Yeah.
Be sure we're in front of your
head.
No, it's a community effort. We all got to get together and get behind it and agree on something because we all have a stake in it. You know, I think we got to do something because if not, we're going to run out of water.
Can you take a stab at drafting a draft, just a rough draft of what a ballot might sound like, a ballot measure might sound like, and then we'll just kick it around as a discussion topic. Of course, we'll get a motion if we do that, but just as a talking piece, and then we can discuss this further at the next meeting. But the important thing is tonight is that we've missed the deadline for the general election for the primary. If we do a mail ballot, we're in the trying to schedule them out.
Let's take some of the immediacy out of it. Is there anything further you need from us, these board directions?
No. With respect to the timing, yeah, I'm not sure. I have to check with CCW on the timing of construction of pipelines for here. That'd be the most applicable time to do it. Although I don't think water would be delivered for probably another year or so. And it could be, you know, excavating one of these things and modifying the blind plans on it to put it about.
That okay.
Here again, cost if it gets a little higher.
Do you expect anything to happen that you need action tonight? As far as well, I mean, when are they planning on actually cutting through our area or disturbing these four potential locations here?
Well, CTWA is contracted once it's back underneath the freeway within the next couple of weeks.
The other thing, Doug, if we had a turnout, where would be the most advantageous place for us to have a turnout?
Probably right downtown.
Downtown?
That's where our distribution system is.
So did you hook on that 12-inch main, or the new main is going to go up to dam, whatever?
Yeah, well, it just goes in the distribution system and moves out. That's a local, I mean, you could probably do it someplace out by the wastewater treatment plant where it goes through that area also, but you tie into a smaller system and not in this main system.
Oh, that's what I wonder, where would be the best place. Okay, let's move on to item four.
Mr. Chairman, I did receive a letter from Sylvia Mitchell. She's a member of the board of on the board of Chamber of Commerce inviting the Mobile Community Service District to join the Chamber. The Chamber has basically two forms of membership, a full membership, which costs $75, and if the board wishes to run for the president or vote on matters like that, they may do so. Or an associate member, which basically can't run for the board of directors of the Chamber of Commerce for $30. It might be wise for the district to join the chamber and get input into it, maybe at the associate level, which would be a $30 fee.
Any reason why we wouldn't want to could there be potential conflict
for participating in the board? I would caution the board about taking a voting role for the chamber.
What was the cost of the other membership?
$30.
No, the other one?
$75.
I recommend that one because in Chamber of Commerce work, you're looked at as you're really a member or you're part of this group over here that didn't pay quite as much. And that exists in almost every organization in terms of that type of
thing.
Now the advantage in my thinking is that
we one day quite likely will need the chamber to support us in some of the things that we're doing. And that's the exact way to get that support is to be a member and be a helpful member.
I don't disagree with that. I would only caution the board about taking a voting role as a board. If we're going to be a member of the chamber, I would thought, you know, if the board wanted to pay the annual membership of $75 and reject a voting role on the board of directors,
yeah, I would have no problem with that.
I wouldn't have a problem with that either, but we have to make it draw the line pretty clear, yeah, that
you could do the same thing with the associate.
I think for that reason, see, all we're doing is we're alleviating the voting role. We don't want a voting role. I can't envision a circumstance where we need one, and I can think of a lot of reasons why we don't want one.
Well, support is not always in a vote. You know, there's a lot of ways to obtain support, and one of the best ways is to be active while being inactive with a group such as that.
Actually, in this particular Chamber of Commerce, it's not that adverse to be an associate member. The main thing is if you attend meetings, you can get more of an input regardless of whether you're a member or an associate member. I mean, I'm a member, but just our business is a member.
Okay.
Charter
member.
Right. I gave the other 45 out of my own pocket.
Yeah, I don't think the money is an issue, really.
They want to go for $75.
Well, the first time I hear it, it's a case way, I'll know.
I mean, it's like throwing it away.
Yeah.
Our legal counsel says we shouldn't vote.
No,
really?
We'll
avoid that. Yeah, and
that's the secret cheaper. We take
$30.
That's what I
said. Katie thinks it's not. Okay, let's have a vote on it. What do you think?
I make a motion that we join the Chamber of Commerce for the $75.
Attaboy.
And decline having a voting position on their board.
As long as we can work those kind of details out with the chamber, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
Okay, got a motion by Director Blair that we join the chamber as full members and decline voting.
I second.
I was second. Right. Seconded by Director Simon. All directors in favor? Okay. Let's have public comment on it. Thank you. Are there any questions or concerns from the public? Okay. The motion was by Director Blair and the second was by Director Simon that we become full business members of the Chamber of Commerce, $75 a year. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Okay.
We need to take a roll call now.
Okay, let's have a roll call vote.
Director Blair?
Yes.
Yes.
This is a condition. We send an application in. We can just tell them that we're paying the full membership, but we're complying
with it. Can we get rid of the Costco card?
Okay. Yeah. Item number five is the information regarding our data system. Mr. Jones?
Yeah, Mr. President, the district went out for proposals to revamp the district data system, and we received five proposals in. You have a summary of them in front of you. To basically modify and redo the system. The proposals came in, and after reviewing them, we basically laid them out in descending order of cost and indicate you the different proposals have different software packages to make the systems work. Three of the proposals are basically software packages with an integrator. Two of the proposals include a number of engineering studies and then
selecting a software package to integrate, and that's why there are considerably difference in value. We received notice from one of the proposals of a reduction in cost after we received them, but talking to legal counsel said we cannot adjust the matter after the proposals came in based on government code, et cetera. So based on legal counsel's advice and opinion, the lowest proposal at this time would be process instruments at $11,500, and that would be the recommendation.
Is there any way we can get, you stated that Irwin Engineering and Alexander Engineers, they're over $30,000 a piece, but those likely included more integration work configuration work. What might the others add on if their proposals didn't include that?
I don't know. I mean, like Alexander Engineering had about $5,000 for a study, and then they go in and probably preliminary implementation, develop certain graphs, and they also determine what those graphs are, then and put a program. I don't know the total why they're much higher than the others.
Is it your understanding that these first three, the maximum being less than $13,000, that these three will provide the software update and the work necessary to get our system working correctly?
That's correct.
There's not a great likelihood of additional expenses.
Well, we bring up agreement in the aspect that the payment will not be completed until the system is up and running, folks. It'll be a much tighter agreement than the last one.
What kind of information do you have on these bidders?
I talked to other users of all three software packages, and they all seem to be somewhat satisfied. The Inillusion and Wonderware are among the top three users in the country. Paragon is on an upcoming process. The Inillusion and the Wonderware presently are operating on what they call a 16-bit system, but they have programs that will be coming out with a 32-bit because of Windows 95 and Windows NT. The Paragon is a full 32-bit operation, fully multitasking.
Is that the one we use? The, I'm sorry, Bob.
Is that the one we're going with, Paragon? Or?
No, process instrument.
That's the recommendation. The one we have now is an older version of Paragon. The board's not working.
Basically, you know, our organ is getting direction from the board to sit down and negotiate a contract with them. If they're not successful in negotiating a contract, then we go to the next phase.
Okay. Any comments or questions from the audience?
Yes, Mr. Kay.
What's the next bidder?
$12,500,
$1,000. Yeah. And then $12,75 was the third.
Staff did prepare a resolution that I think might be in.
I don't have that.
We need a resolution that staff is to proceed with.
Right here. You can take
a short one. Since it's so short, can we just read it out loud?
Sure.
For the benefit of the audience?
I'd be happy to.
I'm sure they'll just love
both sides. Whereas on October 16, 1995, district staff received the responses from the request for proposal for a software package to be installed into the existing district SCADA telemetering system, and whereas the total number of proposals received were five, and said proposals range from $11,500 to $39,960. Whereas staff has determined the proposal of process instruments in parens a low proposal in the parens is apparently responsive to district requirements. Now therefore be it determined and resolved as follows. One, the proposal of process instruments is the apparent proposal that is most responsive to district requirements. Two, that the general manager is hereby authorized to enter into contract negotiations with process instruments in conformance with this proposal and present the contract to the Board of Directors as soon as possible. And the resolution passed and adopted.
We want